email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
51551 0870 32 32 32 for your WhatsApps or ray@rte.ie. You probably know by now, tonight Ireland compete in the second semi-final of the Eurovision Song Contest in Basel. Our representative is Emmy, Norwegian singer. Like a Party is the song, but Russian Dog. Michael Keeley is RTE's head of delegation and he's on the line. Hello, Michael.
Good afternoon, Ray.
Good to talk to you. How long have you been in Basel?
Feels like about 2 years now, but we've been here since last Sunday. Well, I've been here and my colleague Sarah from Wardrobe has been here since last Sunday week, so the 4th of April, sort of May, sorry,
okay,
May.
Okay, right.
And obviously Emmy and the gang were arrived the same day as well.
And how many rehearsals has Emmy done?
We did one rehearsal on Monday the 5th, one rehearsal on Thursday the 8th. Then we're now into show week. So yesterday she did one in the afternoon and then one in the evening. And we're just about to start our dress rehearsal 3, they call it,
right,
in a few minutes' time. So if you hear people clapping and cheering in the background, it's as the artists make their way from the dressing room, everybody cheers them on, you know. Okay. So
we'll talk about yesterday's performance in a moment. But throughout those rehearsals, Michael, do you, as head of delegation, have input into things? Do you have input into camera positions and that sort of thing? Yeah,
yeah, absolutely. So the way it works is you get it's like very regimented. So you arrive for your rehearsal, you go to the backstage area, you get your in-ear monitors on, then you go onto the stage. Once you're on the stage, they start a countdown clock. You get 30 minutes to rehearse on stage, which is you get to go do your song 3 times and they record the last one. And then you go to what's called a viewing room where you have representatives from lighting, sound, director, all that kind of stuff. And you get then 20 minutes to ask for all of the changes that you want made. So you watch the performance back and you then go through lighting, sound, camera angles, all that kind of stuff. So you get a huge amount of say in how the thing looks in the end, you know.
And are you happy with how it looks?
Well, I mean, as happy, I suppose, as I can be at the moment, because, I mean, if you know, it's like these things, the longer you have, the more you want to do with it. Do you know what I mean? So there comes a point where you just have to sort of leave it and walk away and say that. And also there's a cutoff point from the competition people where they say they're just not going to entertain anymore of your ideas about lighting or changing or cameras or whatever.
So last night was done in front of a full audience. So the stadium was full. So the jury gets to vote on that, but that vote isn't used unless there's an emergency.
Yeah. So there used to be a jury vote on the Wednesday night or the night before a semi-final, and that used to be 50% of the vote. But a few years ago, and you might remember this, the EBU detected, I think, what they called unusual voting patterns amongst some of the juries in certain countries, not ours, I hasten to add. And they decided after that they would get rid of the juries in the semi-finals and they would only have a public vote. So every country obviously operates their own public vote and they only use the juries now. So we have to have a jury on like last night, we had to have a jury in RT, and that will only be used if for some reason there's an issue with the televote tonight, if there's a technical issue or something like that. You know?
Okay, but there will be a jury vote considered for the final.
Yes. So the final still has the jury vote. So you'll see on Friday night in RT, then we have a jury assembled. They'll watch the whole dress rehearsal on Friday night and they will vote on that. And that vote then will be transmitted to the people who collate these things.
It does beg the question, Michael, how they can be fully sure that there's no tampering with that vote and yet not with the semi-final vote.
Well, that's a good question, I mean, I suppose they made a sort of a decision that they would have to live with the possibility of that maybe, and maybe they've have more robust systems in place. I mean, our jury is supervised by, you know, somebody from one of the big accountancy firms, PwC. So, you know, who would be in the room and all that kind of stuff. And there's very strict rules. Like, I mean, they're not allowed to discuss the songs while they're watching them. They have to vote independently of each other. You know what I mean? So they they can't come to a kind of a group decision. So it's all very well organized from our end. I can't guarantee it is from anybody else's, but Yeah. But we certainly abide by the rules and do our bit.
Emmy seems to be all over the place. Everybody wants a bit of her. She's very friendly. She gives good sound bites. She's always smiling. The perfect person to be hanging out with, I would imagine, at the Eurovision.
Listen, she's an absolute dream. And the whole team are. They've been great to work with. She's just, she's like a little ball of positive energy every time you meet her. You know, and she would put you in a good. She would put you in good humor, literally, just to see her coming.
Yeah, she's been compared to Iceland, just not only because the song is similar, but also because the attire, the costume is similar as well. And they got through in the first semi-final.
They got through on Tuesday, and so they have been meeting each other in various different Eurovision pre-parties around Europe. So they called themselves the Silver Gang. Uh-huh. So they've gotten together with the Icelandics on a number of occasions, and so they're quite friendly with them.
And I see you're a member of the Silver Gang now as well.
Well, listen, it wouldn't be Eurovision if I didn't make an effort. And I don't know if you saw last year, you know, obviously Bambi was very, you know, distinctive in their attire and the way they presented themselves on stage. And I got into the spirit of it last year with Bambi. I had two prosthetic devil horns on my head.
Right.
So this year, putting on a silver jacket isn't the greatest hardship I've had to endure.
Yeah, you actually pulled it off, in fairness to you, with your dark glasses.
<Thanks. laughs>
Very rock and roll-ish, the important part of it.
I'll be wearing it around RTE in future,
okay.
I promise. Yeah.
The people who know, the pundits, the Eurovision pundits, are saying tonight is a tougher semi-final. Not only is the standard of songs higher, but there's also more singers. So on Tuesday night, 10 out of 15. Tonight it's 10 out of 16. And we are, according to, again, the people who know, dangerously positioned around 10 or 11.
Yes, but I mean, if you look at Tuesday night, Iceland were pretty much in the same position.
Right.
Portugal were 15 out of 15 in the odds to qualify, and they qualified on Tuesday. So I wouldn't put an awful lot of, you know, credence in those kind of polls, you know.
I was listening to all the entries, and there are a number of songs that are similar to Emmy's Like a Party. There's a na 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 na. There's a number of those, but there aren't too many of them. A lot of them are quite dark tonight.
I think ours is going to stand out for all the right reasons.
Yeah.
And now you can hear the clapping in the background because I'm now following the Silver Gang down to our dress rehearsal. But I think we're going to stand out. I think we're going to stand out for all the right reasons.
Yeah. Michael, I have to ask you about people wanting RTE to boycott the Eurovision. The NUJ called for it last week, and the Director General of RTE, Kevin Backhurst, wrote to the EBU, who are the people who organised the Eurovision, and they said that they will have discussions. Now, when I heard all of that, I thought that was going to happen before tonight, but it hasn't.
I'm not au fait with the latest, but I believe they've agreed to sort of discuss it after this contest is over. So that's my understanding of it. I could be wrong, but as far as I know now, that's the situation.
Yeah. I was talking to somebody who was at one of the protests outside of RTE last week, pro-Palestinian, calling on RTE to boycott the Eurovision Song Contest. And I just asked them, what do you want? And that's what they want. They feel that would be a huge gesture on behalf of RTE to boycott the Eurovision.
I disagree. I mean, I'm not in favour of boycotts. And you know, I mean, I was only thinking about this, you know, today, and particularly in relation to NECAP. And, you know, despite the fact that people might say and all sorts of things, and sorry, not sure you can hear me there, but I'm not in favour of it, Ray, to be honest, because I think that anything that results in us silencing artists or, you know, not allowing them express themselves or whatever, I just think is inherently a bad idea. This is a competition which is specifically designed to bring people together. You know, the theme of it is United by Music, and I think that that's a very, very noble ideal, and I think that, you know, anything that interferes with that goal and that aim, I think, is just inherently a bad idea.
I was reading a letter from the independent producers and television makers in Ireland, which they sent to the EBU. And just it sort of ties into what you've just said. At the end of the letter, the second last paragraph, it says, this letter is not a rejection of Eurovision. On the contrary, it is a statement of belief in its cultural power and its symbolic importance. If Eurovision is to remain meaningful, if it is to reflect the best European values, then those values must be applied fairly and consistently. And of course, that is with reference to the fact that Russia was banned from the Eurovision after they invaded Ukraine.
Yeah, now remember, it's a competition between broadcasting organisations, so it's not a competition between governments. So the Russian broadcaster was banned, or basically kicked out of the European Broadcasting Union for consistent violations of their EBU rules, as far as I understand it, and the same with Belarus at the time. And that was the reason they were kicked out. The Israeli broadcaster Kan still complies with all the rules of EBU and are still allowed to compete, you know?
Yeah. In another letter to the EBU, 72 musicians, lyricists and performers associated with the Eurovision over the years called for Kan's exclusion, and that's the Israeli national broadcaster. And they alleged the broadcaster was, and this is a quote from their letter, complicit in Israel's genocide against the Palestinians in Gaza and the decades-long regime of apartheid and military occupation against the entire Palestinian people.
Well, to be honest, I mean, that's I can't answer any of that, Ray, because that's sort of a I'm not a scholar of how Kan in Israel conduct their business. All I know is they're an independent public service broadcaster like RTE. I mean, I think if that's true, that's a matter really that the EBU need to address at that level rather than, you know, I don't know if I can contribute meaningfully to that.
Okay. And they also add that the performers said Kan's inclusion would allow music, and this is their quote, allow music to be used as a tool to whitewash crimes against humanity.
I don't know. I mean, and if that's the case, and if people can prove that, and if people, you know, can point to instances where they're in breach of their EBU obligations, then absolutely. I mean, you know, like any member, then there should be sanctions against them.
Right. How long have you been doing this, Michael?
Quite a long time, Ray. Quite a long time. This is my 13th competition.
Right. Are you still enjoying it?
I am. I mean, like it gets bigger and bigger every year. It gets more and more demanding of kind of my time every year. I think we definitely need to sort of apply more resources in terms of people in RTE just physically to kind of help with the organization of it. But when you get here, it's such a feel-good event. And as I said to you before, like everywhere, you know, there's been saying, you know, we're united by music. You know, people are wishing you well. It's such a great event. And that's one of the reasons why I love it. And I think, it's only 7 hours of television every year, but it's amongst the most... amongst the most enjoyable, life-affirming 7 hours, I think, you can watch on television.
What was the reaction to the Israel performance last night?
I was in the arena and it was pretty muted, I think. Compared to last year, there was a lot of booing going on in the actual arena. Last night it was... wasn't detectable as far as I was concerned, anyway, from where I was sitting.
Yeah. And just back to you, what about Succession? Are you going to hand over the brightly coloured, glittery Eurovision baton to somebody else?
I have a colleague who's has been shadowing me for a while and has been very helpful, and a producer called Claire Hughes, who works in entertainment. So it's just a good practice that somebody else knows how this thing works, you know, because it would be a difficult thing just to be landed in the middle of it and expect to know what to do. So what happens next? I find it very difficult to answer these questions, Ray, because like I don't know no more than you. We're at the mercy of other people. Mm. So like I could be told tomorrow I'm doing something else, or I could be here in 5 years' time. You know, but okay. So I will do it as long as they ask me to do it, because I really do enjoy it now, I have to say.
Okay. Will you wish Emmy our best and tell her good luck from everybody here?
Yeah. She's just getting her in-ear monitors on as I'm talking to you now. And the next step is we're going on the stage now for the afternoon dress rehearsal in front of a full audience.
RTE's head of delegation, Michael Keighley. Thank you, Michael.
Thanks,
mind
Ray.
Yourself.
Bye
now.
Bye
bye.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.